evening, and welcome here. Welcome to the second night that we're having Passionate Night, beginning of Lord's Suffering. But before we start, I would like to share five verses out of Scripture, and that's from Matthew 26, verses 31 to 35. This is where Peter is sharing his passion that he has for Jesus, that he has an undying love and a deep desire to stand up for Jesus. I'll just share these verses and then a few thoughts. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So this is Peter. He's being brave. He says that to get to Jesus, they'll have to go through him. But little does Peter know what a rough night that they're going to have. Jesus knows that it's going to be a really long night. Jesus knows that when morning will come, that Peter's going to have some very deep regrets. And he's telling him here that he's going to die, he's going to give down his life, and then he's going to take it up again. And he's explaining it to them. He's telling them the future. But they don't understand because they're just thinking fleshly, but Jesus is talking spiritually and eternally. And Peter, he wants to stand up for Jesus, just like we are asked to stand up for Jesus, and he says he will. But when the time comes, Jesus knows exactly what Peter's going to do. Jesus knows exactly how he's going to deny him. He even swears, he curses that he doesn't know Jesus. But when the morning comes, when the rooster has crowed, then he's going to remember. And he does. And then he weeps bitterly and he repents. And it's the same as what we should do when we walk away, when we deny, when we do that, we should do the same. We should repent. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another wonderful day. Thank you for this life that you have blessed us with, the freedom that we have, that we can gather here, we can worship, and we can worship freely. For all the things that you have blessed us with, Lord, we are thankful for them. Lord, just this evening as we celebrate, and we sing, and we worship, and we praise you, Lord, we pray that you will give all those that are participating in this program, you give them the wisdom and the strength, the courage and the confidence that they will play their part, they will do their part, that'll be edifying to you, that'll glorify you. And this we pray in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Take our red book and turn to number 99. Number 99.
Tis midnight on your lips brown. Luke 22, verses 39 to 48. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was there at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and the sweat was as if were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, and he was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he was yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he called them Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and he drew unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow?
Good evening. The poem that we're about to read is called Crucifixion. I laughed and mocked as he walked that day
up a hill to redeem my soul.
I joined the crowd to spit and jeer,
and I watched his sorrow grow.
I drove every nail deep in his hands
with every sin in my heart.
My rebellion shoved the thorns in his head,
and my strife tore his robe apart.
I used my hatred to give him a bitter drink,
and I glared down on him with pride.
I thought of the past disappointments,
and with anger I pierced his side.
I denied his power, ignored his worth,
and stood watching for his life to end.
And knowing my grief would begin, I watched the last teardrop fall.
Not knowing my grief would begin,
I looked around to find his accusers,
but no one was there but me.
Who would die on the cross for me? May the peace of God be with us all. Amen. You know, as I've been preparing for this day, you really have to start wondering, like, what did Jesus feel that last week? How could he even function, knowing that at the end of the week, he would be brutally put to death? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul writes, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus Christ was born to die. He came to be our substitute, taking our sin, and we gained his righteousness. God treated his sinless son as one of us, as a sinner, as a vile, wretched sinner. That's why he came. So yesterday we heard that Jesus was preparing. He was getting his house in order, for he was leaving. And Brother Jake did a very good job in leading us through Monday to the end of Wednesday. And then Thursday came, and Jesus had this desire to have the Passover meal with his disciples. And we find that in Luke chapter 22, verses 15 and 16, where he says, "And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." So he's in the upper room with his disciples, and he's having the Passover meal with them. And then during the Passover meal, he makes them aware that one of them is a traitor. One of them is going to betray him. Not that it hasn't been enough for all the things he had told them already of things that were going to happen, which they just didn't understand, about his dying and coming back the third day. It didn't make sense to them. And now he says one of them, one of the 12 that he chose, is going to betray him. So they're kind of asking the question, like, who could it be, and all these kind of things. And we read that in Luke chapter 22, 21 and 22. "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom is betrayed." Can you imagine the feeling that Judas had or must have felt when Jesus said those words? Woe to that man. And then right after that, there was a strife between the disciples on who would be the greatest. Who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? In 24 to 26, it says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that does serve." So he was trying to tell them, look, guys. We're different than the world. We don't want to be recognized, popular, and we need this status to be somebody. And then right after that, he goes and washes their feet. Their master, their Lord. In John chapter 13, he tells, I'm going to go wash your feet to show that even though I am your Lord and your Savior, I will serve you. And then he says, now you go and do likewise. Serve one another. And if we go through John, when he does the suffering story, it actually starts in chapter 13, like I already says, with the washing of the feet. And chapter 14, he talks about his farewell speech, kind of. In the first six verses, he tells them, I'm going to go and get a place ready for you. I'm not just going to leave you here and pretend that I never even knew you. He says, I want to have you with me, so I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. In John 14, 1 to 6. And then in verses 9 to 11, he says, he was trying to reveal himself as the same as God. Verses 9 to 11, it says, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me and hath seen the Father, how sayest thou then, shew us the Father? Believest not thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Jesus always said, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do the Father's will. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So he revealed himself who he was, sent from God to represent who God really is. And then in verses 12 to 21, he talks about, he kind of refers to the Holy Spirit. He says, In verses 12 to 21, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He tells these disciples, look, I'm going to be leaving, even though they didn't understand it, but I am going to send you a spirit that's going to be the same as me, having me beside you, but now I'm going to be in you. And then verses 22 to 31, he talks about how we are to live if we're going to be following this Jesus. Verse 23 says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If ye love me. Chapters 15, he talks about the vine and the branches. How he is the vine, and if we're not attached to him, we can't get the nourishment that we need to live the Christian life. Yesterday, Brother Jake was talking about we have to be in him in order for us to know his will. And that is going to affect how we as believers treat one another, and also how we as believers pray to this God. How our communication will be with this God if we abide in the vine. When in him, as a branch is in the vine, our prayers and our fruit will reflect who we are. Verse 7 of that chapter 15 says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Because we're not going to ask for selfish things. We're going to ask what God's will is. We will be in tune with God. Ten 11 of that chapter says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Are we a joyful people? This is a hard week when you're really studying this passage about how he's going to get murdered. It's hard to find joy in it. But it's like in Hebrews, he says, he looked beyond the cross as what it would produce. And that gave him joy in the sorrows. In chapter 16, verses 7 to 15, he talks about how he will send us the Holy Spirit, as he promised us already in chapter 14. And then in verse chapter 17, it's often called the high priestly prayer. How he prayed for his disciples and the church of Jesus Christ, how they would stay focused on him. And how he would give us the wisdom and the strength and the spirit to lead other people to the light of Jesus Christ. And then things got bad. Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." For those of you who know your Bible quite well and you know Scripture quite well, he often resorted to go to Gethsemane to pray, to depart from the crowds, to spend sometimes a whole night in prayer. That was his place of refuge. That was his place of being in tune with his Father. So here he says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." This evening was different. He didn't want to be by himself. He needed the support of his disciples, the ones that he had taught for 3 years. He needed their help. He tells us that we're supposed to carry one another's burdens, and here he's demonstrating he needed somebody to help him, to pray with him, to pray for him. "He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." Can you imagine? He knew within 12 hours he would be hanging on that cross. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." In Luke, he says his sweat became like blood. That's how agonizing he was. "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and he saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Do you know how serious this is? Can't you tell the agony I'm in? Can't you help me? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. He warned his disciples with him as a source of strength. And isn't it the same way we sometimes are when we're down and we're sorrowing or we have a heavy burden to carry? It's nice to have a brother or a sister in Christ just to be there. To stand by our side, to help us carry that load. In 38, he was overwhelmed with sorrow. In Luke chapter 22, verse 44, it says, There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. He received more strength from the angel, came to strengthen him. But his anguish also increased, knowing that his disciples weren't being much help. And he could also sense that God would be turning away from him because God and sin can't mix and match. So God would turn away from him. And he would have to do this on his own. That poem that those gentlemen read, how many times when we sin do we think of, it was I that nailed him to the tree. When we accept this Jesus as our Savior, it tells us in Scripture that sin should be ugly to us. Is it? When we commit a sin, do we ever think of, that's why Christ died? That's why he had to go to this brutal death? In Mark chapter 15, verse 34, when he was on the cross, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That tells me that God could not watch his son have all that sin upon himself. Because God is holy. God will not condone no sin. And in Mark chapter 14, verse 50, it says, all the disciples forsook him and fled. So here he is, all by himself, facing the hardest task that anyone can ever carry. In Luke chapter 22, verse 44, where it talks about how he suffered and how he sweat blood. But he still prayed, not what I want, but what you want. He prayed three times. He came back, found his disciples sleeping, and he went back and he prayed the same words three times. It's all right to long for a certain outcome when we pray. And to pray for it earnestly. But it's always best to also trust our God for his way, even if it is the harder way. In verses 47 to 50 of Matthew 26, it says, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Did you hear that in verse 47? Who were the ringleaders? Who were the leaders of the mob? Chief priests and elders, the church leaders, because their status was being challenged. Their authority was being challenged. And they went to any length to stop that challenge. Jesus was a betrayer. What is a betrayer? Jesus had put his life, or spent his last 3 years of his life teaching his disciples everything that they needed to know about life as a Christian. He poured out his life towards them. And Judas heard everything he said. And he pretended that he was one of the boys. But he was also a very greedy man. As we read in John, he was in charge of the money bag. And he often took what wasn't his. His heart was not right, but he pretended to be a Christ follower. And I often wonder how many of us, when we're sitting in the pews, pretending to be a Christ follower, but inwardly we're self-centered, and it's all about me. And that's what got Jesus nailed to the cross, the sin that we often hide and think nobody knows, but Jesus does. In Titus chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "They that profess they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate." That's a hypocrite. He further acknowledged how hypocritical he was by the way he went up to Jesus Christ. He wanted to give him a kiss. What's a kiss for? Do we go up to people that are our enemies and give them a kiss? Probably not. But Jesus had a choice. Just like we all have choices to make in life. Judas had a choice. He could have turned back. Even though it tells us early on already that Satan entered into Judas. But when Jesus was handing out the bread at the communion table, he didn't omit Judas because he was going to betray him. He still gave him that piece of bread. He still gave him an opportunity. But he knew that Judas was going to carry it through. But in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 to 10, God has a plan for each one of us, and he often, in the Old Testament, he said sometimes, if you're not going to follow my direction to the Israelites, I'm going to destroy you. In certain areas of the Old Testament, he had his guidelines. Same with Nineveh, you have 40 days to repent. And if you're not going to repent, I'm going to destroy this city. Here in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7 to 10, it says, "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. At one instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obeyed not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." So we have choices to make. And when we make bad choices, there's always an opportunity, like he tells us in Corinthians, there's always an opportunity to get out of sin. Judas had an opportunity. So they arrested, or they came, and they wanted to arrest this Jesus because he was Jesus. Somebody came and cut off a person, one of the soldiers' ears, and it tells us it was Peter. And then in Luke chapter 22, verse 51, Jesus took that ear and he healed it back on. Now, if the people would have really been watching and thought back to of what Jesus had all done, they would have noticed this man is different than the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. But they didn't recognize it. They still went forward. And also they did not take Jesus in the temple for the fear of a riot. They didn't want a big group of people around because they said it would give a riot. So Judas said to the scribes and the chief priests that when he would tell them where he was, there would not be a whole lot of people. So they came secretly at night when they knew, or when Judas knew there would not be a lot of people. So they came secretly at night under the influence of the prince of darkness, Satan himself. I think it's in Luke where Jesus says, "This is your hour, Satan's hour." Satan is the prince of darkness. And Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus went through the darkest days that anybody could go through for you and for me. Do we recognize that? Somebody said to us the other day, "Why did he have to die? Feel so bad that he had to die." Because of who we are. Because of what Adam and Eve started in the Garden of Eden. In Romans 6, verse 23, he says, "For the wages of sin is death." So our sin that we have committed and what all the other people in the world have committed, they were put on this Jesus, this perfect Jesus. And the wages he got was death because of you and me. The wages of sin is death. But let's not leave it there, because that's depressing. Make sure you come back tomorrow and you listen to what he had to do for those sins that you and I commit, what he had to do to pay for. It says here, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Or is he just your Savior? Because there's a big difference between just having a Savior. Yes, he died for my sins. But if he's your Lord, then you have given yourself to him. And you let him lead your life. Then he is in you. Our penalty was paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, I want to close with that. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sin." All of us have been sinners, and we still are sinners. But before we knew Christ, we were dead in sin. This wages of sin is death. If we stay in our sin, it's death. A spiritual death. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us or made us alive, us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved. This is the gift we're talking about. The gift of the cross. Without the cross and without the resurrection, our faith is empty. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Our salvation, if we have claimed Jesus Christ, our salvation will result in acts of service to build his kingdom. We will want to serve his church. We will want to contribute to the salvation of bringing others in to find salvation. We will want to, we should have a fervent desire to get the ones that are walking around in darkness, to pull them out of the fire, like he says in Jude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of this service and we thank you. You went through lots of agony. We can't even fathom what you went through. Those last hours, the last days, you required the amount of strength that we don't understand, but God provided. We praise you for going that mile to the cross. And help us to remember and reflect these last hours before we celebrate the crucifixion. Help us to really reflect on the emotions and the feelings that you went through, to help us to understand a little bit on what it cost you. Help us to rededicate our lives to you so that we become more like you. Fill us with a desire to serve so that others will be brought to you. Give us a desire to carry each other's burdens as you have taught us. If you love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, love one another. That would be my wish and prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Take our blue book and turn to number 131. Let's all stand.
Number 131. The strength indeed is small, troll of weakness, watch of prey, find in me an all and all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Find thy power in thine alone, can then change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace can claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died on salt to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
That brings us to the close of this evening program. I'd like to thank all of you for coming, and also thank you for Reverend Jake Hyde for bringing us the message yesterday, and Bishop Ken Funk for bringing us the message today. And I'd also like to thank everybody that was involved yesterday and today, and also the program committee for putting this together. I'd like to heartfelt thank you for that. And there is a snack prepared for us in the dining hall, and you guys are all invited to join us. But before we do that, let's bow for prayer and for table grace. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful evening. Thank you for the songs that have been put here. Thank you for the poems and the message. Thank you for being a good God, and thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent down to comfort us and to guide us and to keep us. Lord, we just especially want to thank you for the freedom to do the celebrating that we can do here. And Lord, as we leave here this evening, I want to thank you for the food that is prepared for us. I pray that you will bless it and bless those hands that have prepared it. And Lord, just as we go, as we continue, that you'll put it in our hearts what you have done for us, that you died on the cross, that you suffered for us, that we be mindful of that every single day. We pray this in thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Now dismissed.